Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Chris Terracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdoch, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son Paul and his wife Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes, including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we concluded our review of the testimony of Mark Tinsley, the lawyer who represented the family of Mallory Beach in their legal battle against the Murdoch family for the death of Ms. Beach in a boating accident caused by Paul Murdoch. In this installment, we present our look at the testimony of Blanca Simpson, a longtime friend of Maggie Murdoch who also worked for the Murdoch family. That's all coming up right after the break.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
It is the morning of February 10th, 2023, day 13 of the trial of Alex Murdoch. As we concluded our last episode, Mark Tinsley, the lawyer who represented the Beach family in their lawsuit against the Murdochs, completed his testimony. As we begin this installment, the state calls Blanca Simpson to the witness stand. Ms. Simpson sports long reddish-brown hair and a pair of reading glasses hanging around her neck. She wears a black blazer, a black blouse, and a gold necklace. Prosecutor John Matters handles the questioning for the state. He begins by asking the witness a few biographical questions. Ms. Simpson states that she is from Brownsville, Texas, and joined the Navy at age 17, where she met her husband. After having kids, the couple decided to retire from the Navy and move to South Carolina, where Ms. Simpson took a job as a correctional officer with the South Carolina Department of Corrections. After several years, Ms. Simpson was promoted to sergeant. Ms. Simpson continues.
In 2001, I was offered a job at the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And I accepted the job. So I left Ridgeland Correctional Institution, went to work for FCI Estill, Federal Correctional Institution, Estill, South Carolina, where I stayed until 2007. My job, basically, I started back from the bottom as a correctional officer. And before my year's up, I got promoted to the Special Investigative Support Tech Office, where I was responsible for managing, producing reports, weekly reports, and also profiling the Hispanic gangs because there was not a lot of staff members that were bilingual. So my job basically became profiling, interviewing, and associating members, the inmate population with gangs.
And how long did you do that?
From 2001 to 2007.
Not that anybody cares, but is that when I first met you?
Yes, sir.
Did you help me arrange a meeting with a prisoner I need to interview?
Yes, sir.
And why did you leave that job?
Just when you're the only one of the only ones in the office that's bilingual and you're constantly getting called out for different incidents dealing with a Hispanic population that had grown up quite a bit from the time I got there, and still having to do your daily duties in the office and nobody's helping you, you tend to burn out pretty quick. So I made a decision to leave.
So if an incident happened when they needed a translator,
I had to stop what I was doing and respond to whatever incident dealing with the Hispanic inmates.
What did you do after that?
I went into real estate for a little bit, which was not so good because that's when the market crashed.
And again, for the jury's edification, what year is this when you quit the prison?
2007.
And you're living where?
In Brunson.
I'm sorry?
Brunson.
So how long did you stay in real estate?
Maybe about a year and a half.
Your family's grown at this point, I presume?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did there come a point that you met the defendant, Alex Murdoch?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell them how that happened? Tell the ladies and gentlemen how that transpired?
When I first moved to Gifford with my husband, like I said, I was bored, so I went to work at the grocery store. At the grocery store, and during the time that I moved, there was not a lot of Hispanic families living in that area. It has since grown in the years. I met a lady who I befriended. You know, she was Hispanic, and we started talking because she was the only other Hispanic person that I had actually seen in the area. So we started talking back and forth, and it was nice to speak in your native tongue with somebody. And her son had an accident at the school on his way after school, walking to the car, and he had gotten hurt. One of the ladies that worked at the school had recommended that she use an attorney from Walterboro. And a couple of months had gone by, and I noticed that she was under a lot of stress. And as I talked to her, she said, "I just have to get all these documents. I don't understand." She spoke English, but it was very broken English. So she was having a difficult time explaining what she needed for the attorney. So I told her, I said, "I'm going to find you an attorney. I'll look around," I said, "and we'll go ahead and fire that attorney and hire you a new one." And because we didn't want the statute of limitations to run out on her case. So at that point, I started looking around, and I happened to walk into the law firm. And it was the old offices where I met Alex.
Just walked in, and that's where you met the defendant, Alex Murdaugh.
Yes, sir. Okay.
And you were trying to assist this individual who was having trouble communicating with her prior attorney. Don't mention whoever that attorney was, but you helped her get a new attorney.
Yes, sir.
Did you help with that case, that particular case with this friend?
Yes, sir. He told me he would take the case.
Who is he? Who's
Alex from? Told me he would take the case as long as I translated and helped him with the details because he didn't have anybody in the office that was bilingual, and I agreed.
You were a hot commodity, weren't you? I mean, there was a need for translators.
Yes, sir.
So you helped with that case?
Yes, sir. I did.
Did you assist in other cases with the...
Yes, sir, I did. At times, Alec would call me and ask him if I could assist in translating or when there were accidents and the folks were injured. If they did not speak the English language, he would ask me to translate.
And were you getting paid for this service?
Yes, sir. It wasn't a set fee. It was just depending on the case, you know, whatever I did, whether it was to get them signed up with a law firm, basically, you know, or if I had any type of, in the Hispanic community, when you are in trouble or you're in need of something, and a lot of times those accidents, when they happen in the area, they are not from here. The language barrier is a big thing for them. So my instinct was more to make sure that they were well accommodated and they whatever they needed. So sometimes he would reimburse me for my out-of-pocket whenever I helped the individuals, you know, who were in the accident.
And that went on for a period of time when you were assisting either Alex Murdaugh or the law firm. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Prosecutor Metters next asks Blanca Simpson about how she transitioned from working for Alex Murdaugh's law firm to working for his family.
Did that change into a caregiver, if you will, or respectfully, I don't mean housekeeper or whatever term you'd like to call it, for Maggie Murdaugh?
Yes, sir. Alex had called me and said Maggie was looking for a person to help her in the home. And at that point, real estate wasn't really doing much for me, and so I couldn't find anybody. I had asked around. And at that point, I told him, I said, "Well, I'll help her." And he was like, "Are you sure?" I was like, "Yeah, I'll help her." I said, "It's no big deal to me. It's honest work." So I said that I would help her.
You were clearly qualified.
Yes, sir.
So what did you start doing for the Murdahls or Maggie Murdahl?
I started helping the other ladies in the house with the cleaning, with running errands, running to the bank for her, whatever she needed me to do.
And when did that start?
In 2007.
And were the two young children, or the two children, Paul and Buster Murdahl, were they younger? Obviously, they were younger.
Yes, sir, they were young.
And would you have interaction with them and or Alex Murdahl during this time period?
Yes, sir.
How often were you working for the Murdahls?
At that point, it was maybe every other day, depending on how often she needed me.
And where was that? Where specifically were you working? Where was their house?
At the house on Holly Street in Hampton.
How long did that go on before you stopped? And tell them why you stopped.
I worked there with them on and off, I shouldn't say that. Every 2 to 3 days, you know, or it wasn't a daily thing at that point. Then I did go probably about, I can't recall, it was a few months later or a couple weeks later. There was an incident at the house, and somebody had tried to burn the house. So that's when I actually went and started helping her more full time, because she had to go through a lot of the damages and all that. I helped her document a lot of whatever damages were done from the diesel and stuff that was spilt all throughout the house by the individual.
Prosecutor Metters clarifies the intent of his question.
And maybe I wasn't clear in my question. Did there come a point when you had some help?
Yes, sir. At one point, I suffered a stroke, and I had to stop working and go through rehab for a while.
And what year was that? 17 or 18, maybe?
Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir.
So prior to your stroke, and you had to go to rehab, how long did you work for the Murdahls?
It was a few years by then.
How long were you out after you had your stroke?
Maybe almost 4 years.
Did there come a point where you went back and started working with Alex, with the Murdahl family?
Yes, sir.
And tell these folks when that was.
Shortly after the boating accident, I reached out to Alex and Maggie, and I told them if they needed anything that they could call on me. And at that point, Maggie said that she would like for me to come back if I was able to. So I told her I would. At that point, I was feeling better, so I told her that I would go back. And once I went back, it was like I actually never left.
Prosecutor Metters confers with his colleagues for a moment and then clarifies a detail with Ms. Simpson.
I was just informed the stroke was in 2015, not 2017.
Yes,
I apologize.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So after your recovery, you started working and actually called them, the Murdahl family, and said, if y'all need anything.
If y'all need anything, you know, I'm here.
And I don't think anybody will dispute that was in February of 2019.
Yes, sir. That period. Yes, sir.
So when you went back to work with the family after the boating accident, tell these folks, what were your duties then? What was your job?
I started right back at the same thing. I was helping with the cleaning. I was helping running errands. I would cash checks. And what I say by cashing checks for Maggie, sometimes she didn't have time or she was busy doing other things, so she would send me to the bank to cash checks to pay the people that she had working around the house. The maintenance line, you know, that sort of thing, whatever she was doing around the house.
Where were they living, the Murdahl family, at this point in 2019?
Both places.
Okay, tell the folks where both places.
Moselle and Hampton.
So you're working at both residences?
Yes, sir, both.
Did there come a time where they moved exclusively for the primary residence to, where was their primary residence?
Their primary residence was Holly Street, and once they sold the house, they moved straight into Moselle full-time.
Prosecutor Metters next asks Ms. Simpson about her personal relationship with Maggie Murdahl.
I heard much about Maggie. That was limited what I can say in a murder case, but did y'all get fairly close?
Yes, sir.
And when you had quit working for her and you had your stroke, did you ever see her during that time period when you weren't working for her?
Yes, sir. Maggie would... I would see her in town, and she would often signal me to pull over. So we just used to stop sometimes and just talk and see how things were going at the local CVS. Just to catch up and see how everybody was doing.
And prior, when you were working, and after, would you, and I'm not asking you to say what, but y'all got close and would talk personal things?
Yes, sir.
I'd like for you to go back in your mind now and take this jury back to June 7th, 2021.
Yes, sir.
You were working there for the Murdaughs then?
Yes, sir.
That's a Monday. Do we all know that, June 7th?
Yes, sir.
When had you worked prior to that? At the Moselle property for them?
Friday.
And at that point, had you seen, what family members did you see at Moselle on Friday, which would have been the June 4th of 2021? Do you remember?
Paul.
And what was your interaction with Paul that day?
Paul walked through the door, his usual self. I was walking out of the laundry room, coming into the kitchen, and Paul came in the front door, and he was holding a laundry basket full of clothes. And as he was approaching me, he saw me, and he said, what's up, Ms. B? And I just looked at him. I said, boy, I said, if you got all them dirty clothes and you want me to take care of that, I said, I'm getting ready to leave. He's like, oh, come on, Miss B. You can help me out. He said, I need them for the weekend. I said, well, just pull a couple of them out, what you need, and I'll take care of it. And I ended up staying late to make sure that he had his clothing ready for the weekend.
As Ms. Simpson recounts this anecdote, Alex Murdaugh appears to be affected emotionally.
So did you wash the clothes for the entire family? Was that part of your...
Yes, sir, I did.
And did Paul leave that Friday?
I saw him leave. I don't know whether he was actually gone for the weekend or if he was still...
Did you ever see him again?
No, sir.
Did you have regular hours in June of 2021 that you worked at Moselle for the Murdaugh family?
They weren't really set hours. Maggie was pretty... She was just easygoing. If I had stuff to do, if I had stuff to take care of, she wasn't really too keen on any specific hours. If I had a doctor's appointment or if I had anything, she'd be like, okay, no. Her main comment to me always was no worries.
No worries.
No worries.
Well, June 7th specifically, were you scheduled to work at Moselle?
Yes, sir.
And did you have contact with Miss Maggie Murdaugh sometime prior to getting to Moselle that morning?
Yes, sir.
And I think it's in evidence, but tell these folks what contact you had with her.
She texted me and asked me if I could stop at the grocery store on my way to Moselle because Alex wanted some Capri Suns.
Some what?
Capri Suns.
Okay.
And she said... apple, and I believe she said pineapple first, and then they changed. She came back with another text and said, no, he wants orange, I believe. That's what he said. That's what the text said. I'm not.
And did you try to get some orange Capri Suns?
Yes.
Where'd you go?
I went to the Food Lion.
And were you successful in your search for orange Capri Suns?
No, sir.
Prosecutor Metters hands Ms. Simpson a document.
I'll show you what's Mark's defendant's for the record. Do you have any other text with Miss Maggie before you got to Moselle?
Yes. Maggie told me she had to go to a doctor's appointment, and she said that in the text, Maggie said, Alec wants me to come home. And she said, and in a phone conversation, she told me, she said, I left some food in the refrigerator. Is there any way that you can cook? Paul likes the way you cook. So she said, because I don't think I'll be back in time. So I said, yeah, sure. I said, I'll do it. So it was nothing. I finished what I was doing, and then I started cooking, making sure the meal was ready for when Paul and they arrived at home, well, that afternoon. And we had another conversation on the phone where she told me, she said, Alec wants me to come home. And she kind of sounded like she didn't want to come home because she really liked being at Edisto. And they had a lot of work that was going on, and she was trying to make sure everything was ready for the 4th of July gathering that she was planning. So she was very detail orientated, so she wanted everything perfect. So she was kind of, she sounded like she was a little disappointed. And then she said, well, Alec asked Paul to come home too, because he's got to fix the mess up out there that that CB had done.
That CB Road?
Yes, sir. And he said Alec had told Paul to come and fix it because they were planning on having a hunt that weekend, so he wanted everything ready and good to go.
So he'd asked Maggie to come, and then he had asked Alex to come.
That's what Maggie...
Paul to come.
Paul. That's what Maggie told me over the phone.
And looking at states, Defendant 54, can you read that text?
Prosecutor Metters places the document in front of Ms. Simpson so she can read it.
He said, thank you. I'm waiting at doctor. Alex wants me to come home. I had to leave. Door open at Edisto, but trust Mexicans to shut and lock for me. His dad is back in the hospital. The last doctor claims not cancer, it's pneumonia. And then she's got some emojis. She said, Alec is about to die. Hope he doesn't go down there to sleep. Needs to take care of himself as well.
And when she said, trust the Mexicans, leave the door open, that didn't bother you?
No, sir.
When she said, I guess my question is, you said you didn't think she wanted to...
Judge Clifton Newman asks Prosecutor Metters to move from Ms. Simpson's side so that the jury can see the witness as she answers his questions.
Mr. Metters, you're standing in front of the jurors.
I apologize.
When you had just testified you didn't think she wanted to come home, was work being done at Edisto?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And did she like being at Edisto?
Yes, sir, she did.
And when would she stay at Edisto?
Any chance she had.
Okay.
And with that, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Alex Murdoch. Please join us on our next installment as we continue our review of the testimony of Blanca Simpson. Also, check out the Crime Story podcast, Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you'd like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.